Here, the old gods are dead.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
Welcome back to the revamped Creepy Wee podcast.
So we recorded and I took the very bold step in no getting out of my bed to record and like held my mic basically and then like went to edit it the day after for like release on Wednesday. And you could not hear a fucking thing I was saying because it was obviously just like bed sheets rustling and like mic noise. And I seriously, when I was like, aye, this is not usable.
I just like, not to like rub it in, but like it's just when lost audio is not my fault, which it is 90% of the time, I'm just so happy.
Like, this one's like actually lost media though.
We should present it as me just on my own. Oh my god, what about Nicki Minaj being actually like possibly going insane over Twitter on like just like live and releasing the worst song of all time? Have you streamed it? Oh my god.
Like, it's really hard to, like, be a 2009, like, pop, 2009, 2010, like, pop stan and want to constantly listen to Pink Friday, but then, like, have the, like, angel on my shoulder be like, Nicki Minaj is, like, at this point, like, are we separating the art from the artist?
I know. Are we? Is there a point at which we're allowed to, like, illegally download onto, like, little MP3 players? Narius is, like, he was, like, trying to get out of the Spotify Wrapped wheel, hamster wheel. And he's bought, like, this tiny little cunty MP3 player that looks like... It kind of looks like the original iPod, but tiny. It doesn't look like an iPod Nano before you say that, because they were thin. This one is, like, it's fat and short. It's like, you know when Mario gets the super mushroom? And then he becomes bigger. It's like he has the tiny mushroom version of an iPod.
He's like one step away from getting one of those like dullard phones that has none on it.
Oh my god, yeah. The other day my friend Megan asked me, like, what now in the politest way possible, asked me what he does in his spare time. And I went to answer the question. I went, oh. I was like, good
question. I'll get back to you on that.
And then I went over and I said to him, I was like, no offense, but see, when I'm not around, what are you doing?
You're such a con.
And he said, I do think about that a lot.
You're that kind of person who's like, if I shut my eyes, the world does not exist.
No, but like
if you're not in Narius, what could he possibly be up to? None.
What he doesn't like, he doesn't like TV, and he doesn't watch, well, he started watching films, I guess. He reads sometimes.
Oh, you can, he's watching, like, daytime television, and he just doesn't
Loose Women, and he's like,
said watching Loose Women. I can't remember.
I can't remember what I do. It's like, Lorraine.
Lorraine, who's famously never on Lorraine.
Oh my god, yeah. Is there not like a Twitter account that tracks like when she's on her show?
What drag queen went on and when she's never here?
Oh, was it Danny Beard from Drag Race UK season 4 winner. Yeah, she was like, yeah, she's never here. Like, it's the Lorraine show. Where's Lorraine? Why is she never there? Too busy
We're
at her
never
acting
here,
gigs, I fear.
To be fair. We, like her, are constantly dodging taxes as well.
That is so fucking true. The Creepy Wee podcast, but they're never fucking there. What podcast? Yeah.
Oh, well.
It's been a couple months. And I'd love to say, like, oh my God, we've got a great episode in store, but I have no idea what's about to happen. I have no idea if we're going to be engaged in it. I have no idea what it's about.
I should have asked you to watch Castaway before we recorded, like Tom Hanks' Castaway.
Wilson.
I really like that film, I'm not going to lie.
Did he have sex with the ball? Do we think he had sex with it? Like in the Family Guy
should I make that the Spotify poll? Do you think Tom Hanks shagged Wilson? Yes or no? No, this episode's going to be about the guy who inspired the Daniel Defoe novel Robinson Crusoe, which I think is considered, like, if not the first, one of the first, like, proper fiction novels in the English language. It's not just inspired by this guy that we're going to speak about, but it's inspired by loads of Tales of Castaways, but primarily this one. We'll take a quick wee break, and then I'll tell you about Alexander Silk.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am, but Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Do you get anything about this? Not.
No, bitch.
Okay, cool. Right.
Let me just do a quick Google search.
No, don't.
I just want to know if there's pictures of him and if he's hot.
There's no, this was in the like 1600s.
Yeah, but sometimes they draw people.
There's a statue of him. He's Fife.
No.
Any excuse for me to talk about Fife? Let's get into it. So, Alexander Selkirk was the son of a shoemaker and tanner from Lower Largo in Fife, born in 1676. Now, as a proper Fifer, he displayed a quarrelsome and unruly disposition in his youth.
I know some people.
and like one of the first records in Lower Largo was when he was summoned before the local kirk in August 1693 for, quote, indecent conduct in church. But it doesn't like elaborate like much about like what the indecent conduct was. Ooh. But he did not appear, quote, being gone to sea. So he, like, books it at Ilora Largo. Well, to be fair, it's pretty easy to book it at Ilora Largo because it's by the sea anyway. So he just like hops in a boat and fucks off.
That's nice. That's real.
In 1701, he was back in Fife again when he came to the attention of church authorities once again for assaulting his brothers in a prank gone wrong where they had they'd either dared him or tricked him to drink a can of water, but it turned out that it was salt water. So he was fucking raging and he leathered the both of them.
No, because that's me and my sisters.
So badly that the church had to intervene.
That's very actually like I believe this. I fully believe this. Like, you know how sometimes you read a book and you're like, that seems far-fetched. Like, they made that up. When it's like Scottish history and there's no document of it. But this, I'm like, yeah.
So in 1703, Selkirk joined the expedition to an English privateer, an explorer called William Dampier, to the South Pacific Ocean, setting sail for Ireland on the 11th of September. You don't want to talk about 9/11. So we spoke about, what is his name? William Kidd, the pirate. Mm-hmm. We were talking about the difference between like what is privateering and what is piracy, basically. So privateering is essentially just like pirates who have been granted permission to do that by the government. And for some context within this story, it's at the point of the Spanish Wars of Succession that are going on between England and Spain. So Spain's allied primarily with France. England, Scotland, Wales and Ireland are fighting against them. So any like ships that are on the sea, the British government kind of wants them to be like, oh, you can loot and pillage all you want as long as it's Spanish ships and Spanish territories and stuff, you'll get away with it. So they kind of get like passes and pardons and stuff. So that's essentially what privateers are, and Selkirk ends up being one of these. Interestingly, William Dampier, the guy who's the like captain of the ship that he's on, he was one of the, I think he's one of the first, if not the first person to circumnavigate the earth.
No way.
I just thought that was a fun fact.
Because, like, did they not think it was, like, flat? Like, if he circumnavigated, did he not notice, like, I'm going round?
That's kind of, like, a misconception. Like, no, a lot of people, even at this point, the church, did they think that the earth was flat?
Ah, gag.
We kind of, like, in our high and mighty times are like, oh, folk were so stupid back then, they thought the earth was flat. Folk haven't thought the earth was flat for, like, thousands of years.
When did they start?
I mean, there's still been like small amounts of people who thought the earth was flat, but like,
yeah,
like Christopher Columbus and stuff thought the earth was round and knew it was round. Like, to navigate a ship, like, you kind of need to like follow the curvature of the earth and to be able to like guide your ship safely. But yeah, there probably is more people believing that the earth is flat now than there were like way back when.
Especially because of like just population size and like how people just believe anything on the internet, like on a Wikipedia page, for example.
And I think even like by this point, the church as well were like, I'm not the earth's friend. Like, we're not going to like burn anybody at the stake for saying that anymore. But anyway, so Selkirk's on a boat with William Dampier. Privateering like voyages normally had like one or two ships, like big ships that would like sail together underneath one captain, but there would be like another captain, a sub-captain on the other boat, if that makes sense. So Dampier was the captain of the St. George, and Selkirk served on the Cinque Ports, which was the St. George's companion ship, and he was the master navigator under a guy called Captain Thomas Stradling. Selkirk must have built up considerable experience at sea by this time to have such a crucial role on the ship.
Yeah.
I should say, because of how treacherous life at sea was for the crew, they had more than a few spare bodies crew-wise, and both ships were horrendously overcrowded. Just in case anybody died of typhoid, scurvy, yellow fever, or like whatever else was cutting about on the ships at this time, as well as like encountering death, feel like the Spanish or pirates, so they kind of like overstocked.
I never considered that before. Like, I never, like, thought about, like, oh, they're like, at least 20% of these people are going to die, so let's, like, make everyone really uncomfortable.
It wouldn't be 20%. Like, the folk who were putting together these privateering missions were like, it'll be at least 50%, if no more.
So they just doubled.
They just double it, yeah.
Whoa. But I never thought about that. But yeah, it makes sense.
At this point, the ship that Selkirk is on, like, the food's rotten. The wood on the ship's becoming, like, bitten by, like, rats and stuff. And it's, like, rat-worn wood and stuff. Like, it's a proper rickety ship that he's on. So, like, morale's not exactly high on his ship. But in February 1704, following a stormy passage around Cape Horn, the privateers fought a long battle with a well-armed French vessel, the St. Joseph, only to have it escape and warn their Spanish allies of the ship's arrival in the specific ocean.
Oh my God, I love when people do that. My sister always does that, and I'm still so sure she thinks it's called the Pacific Ocean.
I know it's called the Pacific, isn't it, God? So this French ship scuttles off and, like, goes to... That was a good pun, actually. And then goes... This French ship goes and tells the Spanish. So Selkirk and his gang are, like, kind of booking it around the Pacific Ocean, like, to try and avoid the Spanish at this point. The Spanish are, like, notorious. Like, if a Spanish ship catches you, it is very likely that they will torture you, make you a slave on their ship and stuff. It's not very nice. So, like, avoiding the Spanish is, like, a top priority, or if not, being able to kill them. But they're not in any condition to be able to do that, so they kind of just book it. And then they try and fail to complete a raid on the gold mining town of Santa Maria in Panama, where their landing party was ambushed. The easy capture of a heavily laden merchant ship revived the men's hopes of plunder, and Selkirk was put in charge of this ship. But Dampier, like, took off much-needed provisions of wine, brandy, sugar and flour for this boat, and then immediately set the ship free because he was like, this isn't worth it. And then Selkirk was quite quickly demoted again to being a navigator. Which would piss me off, and I'm sure, like, somebody who's as angry as and, like, somebody as angry as Selkirk is, I can't imagine him finding this very fun. But he's not his captain. Like, the ship that Selkirk's on, it's Stradling who's his captain. So at least when he goes back, he doesn't have to be near Dampier. But things are not much better between Stradling and Selkirk. And Stradling actually decides to abandon Dampier and strike out on his own. And this is weird because, one, the privateering by Dampier isn't gone that badly, and two, like, literally nae cunt like Stradling. Selkirk is constantly butting heads with him, as is most of the crew. And I think, like, a few weeks prior to, like, him setting out on his own, the boat that Selkirk's on, that he's captain of, like, they all tried to mutiny. But Dampier managed to, like, calm it down and was like, no, like, he's fine, like, didn't mutiny.
I love that people haven't changed in hundreds of years. Like, there's still tea, there's still drama, the girls are still gaggy, like, it's, like, it's kind of beautiful, but
you're going to find this story very fun in a minute. So, after parting ways with Dampier, Stradling brought his ship to the uninhabited island known to the Spanish as Mas a Tierra off the coast of Chile for a mid-expedition restocking of fresh water and supplies. Selkirk raises his concerns about the seaworthiness of the vessel and wanted to make necessary repairs and preparations before going any further on their journeys. Mm-hmm. And he declared that he would rather stay on the island than continue in a dangerous, leaky ship. And Stradling went, bet. And he goes, right, well, here's a musket, a hatchet, a knife, and a pot, and a Bible, and some clothes, and some tobacco. Ah. And then goes, you're on your own, mate.
He collected her so quick. That's so, like, nasty.
And Selkirk immediately regrets this. But, like, Stradling, like, basically just, like, gives him the finger and goes, nah, and refuses to let him back on board. Selkirk at this point is, like, in the surf, like, running towards a ship that is, like, setting sail with him. And, like Stradling's probably, like, giving him the finger and being like, wait. So they sail off into the sunset and leave Selkirk on the shore. Wow. To be fair, Selkirk was right about the Seaward Venus of that ship.
Did they die?
It did indeed founder off the coast of what is now Colombia. And Stradling and some of his crew survived. By some, it's like 12 of the crew were left.
Oh my God.
And they were forced to surrender to the Spanish. So they were taken to Lima in Peru, and they endured harsh imprisonment, being tortured, becoming slaves most likely, and a lot of them probably like dying for their like injuries and like conditions that they would have been kept in. So
okay.
Selkirk made a decent decision. So Selkirk at first, when he's like abandoned on this island, he remained on the shoreline, and during this time he ate lobsters and scanned the ocean daily for rescue, suffering all the while for loneliness, misery and remorse at what he had done to Stradling and how he had got to sell into this like situation with his temper. He actually has to move inland because it's mating season for the sea lions on the beach, and like he literally he cannot sleep and he cannot think because of the sound of like these sea lions
he's
like
shagging.
Like humping my eye, and like they're like making so much noise that he's like, no, like I'm about to be driven to suicide.
I would probably like in this situation, I would not continue like trying to live.
Oh, I'd kill myself. I for sure, like 100%.
Like if it's like I would probably make it that long. Maybe I'd be like, oh yeah, like a little bit of crustacean. Like wow, I'm so rich. But then when it got to like noise, like consistent noise, I would be so fucking mad. Like if someone is eating on the same train carriage as me and it's like loud and I can hear it through my headphones, like I actually consider like if life is worth living. Like I get to a really dark place. So I really like, I don't think I could have been in this situation personally.
No, even if you moved inland?
No, nah. Because then it's like I'm not.
Well, I suppose at night there's probably the sound of like crickets and shit.
Oh my God. Oh my God. Like, I actually can't imagine anything worse. I can't imagine anything worse.
I'm not being funny, but like, I thought like the noisy crickets was just like a gang that was like in American tele programs.
No.
Until I went to America and I was like, oh no, that's legit. It's lived as fuck.
I'm so glad that that's not like a huge thing here. Like, I think if we had like, you know how like invasive species and stuff, I think if like crickets that made lots of noise became like a really big thing here, I'm like, yeah, I get why this is a sign of the apocalypse. Like, sure.
Well, did you see that there's like one place in Britain that has like its own scorpions because they like arrived here on like Italian merchant ships like hundreds of years ago.
Oh.
So there's like one place in the UK that has scorpions.
Kind of like my Animal Crossing island. Oh my God, he's kind of living Animal Crossing like IRL.
Oh no, he is. So once he moves inland, his life actually takes a turn for the better in an Animal Crossing sort of way. Mare food becomes available there. Feral goats introduced by earlier sailors provided him whey, meat and milk.
Oh my God.
Whilst wild turnips and dried fruits and pink peppercorns offered him a variety and spice.
I've changed my mind. This sounds like the best thing that could ever happen to him. I want this so bad.
The way that you're like decided, like, no, this is for me.
Like, if you eliminate like noise and like living in the outdoors, like, this is perfect. No one to bother me.
Listen to this. So he had an issue at night inland because a long way goats that had been left for like previous ships that had like moored on this island, there were also rats that had made their way off the ships and had like bred there. So there were like packs of like rats that would come and bite him at night and like try to eat him because they right? So Ken, what he did, he domesticated living nearby feral cats and he domesticated them so that the cats would like go and eat the rats. Like, this is Animal
Not the
Crossing.
Pied Piper. That was so funny. To be fair, like, the rats wouldn't even be a deal breaker for me because I did live beside the Clyde for like 2 years, so I'm kind of used to that. they're big
packs of feral rats.
It wouldn't even need to be a pack. One of those is the size of like 20 probably on the island. Like, it was crazy. It's
like the Princess Bride, like the huge fire rats. Anyway, so He is proven to be quite resourceful, as you can see, domesticating cats to be his little, like, pest control. But he's also managing to, like, fashion knives out of barrel hoops that he found left on the beach. And he builds two huts out of the pepper trees. So he uses one for cooking and the other for sleeping. This man is actually, like, playing The Sims.
He's kind of a genius as well. Oh my god, this is so fun, actually.
He used his musket to hunt for goats, and he used his knife to clean the carcasses. As his gunpowder dwindled, he had to chase his prey on foot. And by this time, he's like obviously like a full wild man at this point. Like, he's not got any, like, shoes left, and he's like running around the island, and he's like got like thick hobbit feet. Like,
definition of a wild, like, man, he has no shoes. Oh my god, he doesn't even have shoes.
I but like, no, like, this is like commented upon, like, any article you read about this, it's like Alexander Selkirk's feet were thick and leathery. Like, the amount of folk that, like, compared it to a hobbit, I'm like, that's minging. Anytime I used to watch Lord of the Rings when I was wee, I was like, get them to fuck. I hate the look of hobbit feet. Anyway, so when he's like running around chasing these goats on foot, during one chase, he was badly injured when he tumbled off of a cliff, and he was left lying helpless and unable to move for a day. But the prey that he was chasing, this goat, had fell off the cliff before him, sparing him a broken back. So he, like, landed on top of the goat. Like, he's very, very lucky.
This is actually, like, comical as well, kinda.
At night, he would sing psalms to himself and read for his Bible to, like, ward off loneliness.
Oh, at least he had a Bible.
Yeah.
Like, something was to, like, keep the mind active. Wait, could he read?
Yeah, it was, like, his biggest comfort was being able to, like, sing himself songs and stuff.
Could he read? Or did he just have a Bible? Could people read then?
No, could read. He could read, yeah.
Is it normal for people then to be able to read?
It's the 1700s. It is normal for people to read.
I don't, like, I literally have no concept of when people started reading.
He's not absolutely poor. Like, his dad was a merchant, so he probably did go to school.
Oh, rich kid with anger issues. Oh, gotcha.
I don't think he's rich. I don't think that's, like, if he was rich, he probably wouldn't have joined, like, the low ranks of, like, the Navy.
That's true.
He's not entirely alone for as long as he's on the island. So what does happen to him is that he spots two vessels anchor in the bay at his island, and he figures out that they're Spanish, and being a Scot and being a privateer, he would probably face a very grim fate, as we've spoke about, if he was captured. So he is actually spotted by the Spanish, and they go on a chase through the island looking for him, and he's hiding in the trees. And apparently, at one point, he's so close to being captured, the tree that he's in, a Spanish guy, like, soldier came and pissed on it and didn't think that he was up there.
Oh, my God.
And he was, like, obviously, like, trying not to breathe. But that's, like, the closest human contact he's had in years, is these Spanish... Like, I'm not being funny, but, like, I would be so desperate for, like, to talk to somebody at that point, though. And just be like, take me home.
So true. I wonder if it felt like intimate to him. I wonder if he was like, oh my god, a person. And he was like, he hadn't seen someone in so long, he was like, ooh, they're kind of cute.
Pissing.
Not pissing.
Speaking of his clothes and stuff, like, going back to that, like, obviously he's not wearing shoes, but obviously running through the trees and stuff constantly, like, tears away his clothes.
Yeah.
Using the skills that he had learned, his father, who was a tanner and shoemaker, he is actually able to fashion clothes and tan the goat hides into making, like, clothes for himself, and, like, stitches it together using, like, twine that he's making.
That's crazy. I would, like, last 3 seconds in his scenario.
If there was anybody who was, like, more suited to be here, like, it's obviously him. Like, this is, like, his Slumdog Millionaire moment where he's like, no, like, I can't have it do this. Like, I can't not answer. But so he's, when is it that he's on this? Right, so it is 1704 when he first arrives on this island.
Oh my god, half a decade.
And his deliverance does not come until the 2nd of February, 1709.
Half a decade.
Yeah, like 4.5, 5 years he's been there.
That's fucking crazy.
His rescue comes, by the way, a privateering ship known as the Duke, which arrived on the island looking to replenish its supplies. A gentleman called Thomas Dover led the landing party that met Selkirk on the beach. And after 4 years and 4 months without human company, Selkirk was almost incoherent with joy. The captain of the ship says, like Selkirk wasn't even able to, like, finish sentences. Like, he would say a couple of words and then he would just, like, mumble, like, quietly to himself because he didn't ken what, like, how to speak anymore because he'd not spoken in so long. Selkirk is obviously, like, ripped, like, muscly, fast as fuck, has these, like, leathery feet. And he actually goes and catches 2 or 3 goats a day and helps restore the health of this captain's men who had actually just developed scurvy. And he gets them back for the brink and is able to, like, help replenish the stock of the ship.
Oh,
and
God.
He's taken on board the ship, and to his absolute amazement, the pilot of the ship is Dampier.
No way.
Yeah, and he's like, oh my God, I ken him. Like he's able to vouch for him and say, he's definitely been here for like 4 or 5 years. Like, we have to, like, help him. And the captain of this privateering expedition, who's called Woods Rogers, was impressed by Selkirk's physical health and well-being, but also by the peace of mind that he had attained whilst living on the island, saying, quote, "One may see that solitude and retirement from the world is not such an insufferable state of life as most men imagine, especially when people are fairly called or thrown into it unavoidably, as this man was." And he's, like, managed to, like, remain sane, essentially.
Kind of the Unabomber, like, prequel, huh?
Yeah. Louise Little Cabin, 100%. So this captain, Rogers, actually makes Selkirk the Duke's second mate. And he later gives them command of one of their prize ships, the Increase, before it was ransomed by the Spanish. Mm-hmm. And Selkirk returned to privateering with a vengeance, and he led a boat crew through the rivers of Ecuador, where several wealthy Spanish ladies had fled, and he looted their gold and jewels that they had hidden inside of their clothing. He took part in the hunt for treasure galleons along the coast of Mexico. Eventually, Selkirk completed an around-the-world voyage by sailing around the Cape of Good Hope and then arrived on the English coast on October 1st, 1711. He had been away for 8 years. Selkirk's ordeal as a castaway garnered him significant attention in Britain, and his story was documented in several books, one really detailed account by the expedition leader who saved him, Woods Rogers, and his friend Daniel Defoe used this essay as inspiration for his novel Robinson Crusoe. Selkirk expected to enjoy ease and celebrity with a share of the Duke's plundered wealth, which was around £800, equivalent to £126,000 today.
That's wild. Inflation's crazy.
After returning to London, Selkirk began to revert to his previous self, aka violent, but he longed for solitude that he constantly longed for the solitude that he had experienced as a castaway, and he found it very difficult to settle back into society. In fact, he never wore shoes again because it was too sore for him to wear shoes. He couldn't fit into them anymore. So he would have all this fine clothing, but he would be completely barefoot.
Like, even at the function, like at a party? I know people were freaked out if, like, he was, like, at a gala or something, and they're like, what the fuck is that, like... I know I would be a little bit gagged if I saw it.
I think at this point, like, folk thought he was, like, some sort of, like, novelty, so they probably enjoyed it. You ken what they were like about, like, a wee bit freaky people.
Yeah.
He actually returns to Fife and goes back to his hometown of Lower Largo, eloping with a dairymaid named Sophia Bruce, marrying her in 1717, and then Selkirk rejoined the Royal Navy. This would be his last voyage as he contracted yellow fever and was then buried at sea. And that is the story of Alexander Selkirk.
He had all that money from, like, that plundering or whatever from the Duke, and he still decided to go back to sea?
Yeah, he just couldn't hack it in society and was like, well, the sea is calling. And they got buried at sea somewhere outside West Africa. What a tale, though, eh? That's crazy. Who's gagged?
5 years? 5 years, Diva. Wow. I would last maybe 5 weeks if I was trying. But even then, like, I'd probably starve or dehydrate before then, or be eaten by rats.
My dream is, like, to win the lottery and go and live in the woods, so... And start a cult for the girls.
That does
sound... Where we have a little commune.
Incredible. It does sound incredible. Can
it
I come?
And yous will be invited. Yeah.
Yay.
Of course.
What if we end up fighting?
It'll be like Jonestown. Anywho, this has been the Creepy Wee Podcast. If you want to follow us on social media, you can follow us on Instagram at the Creepy Wee Podcast, Twitter at the Creepy Wee Pod, and then for everything else, you can go to the Creepy Wee Podcast.co.uk. Thanks. Bye.
Welcome to my island. See the palm trees waving the wind. Desire.
Is that Caroline Bojack?
Yeah, of course. Wind. Desire.
Is that Caroline Bojack?
Yeah, of course.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel. A pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us?
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.